You're in luck. I've lost my sermon, so hang on a minute. How many men do we have in here? Raise your hands, guys. Come on. Okay. Now, how many of you still need to go Christmas shopping? Seriously, how many? I mean, you're going to steal it from somewhere tomorrow, right? Okay. There is a story told that it was getting close to Christmas, and her wife was trying to drop a hint. The wife was trying, she told her husband, she said, "Honey, I'm having these dreams, and I don't understand their meaning." He said, "Really, what kind of dreams are these?" And she says, "Well, I've been having a dream about a beautiful 24-karat gold necklace, exactly 23 inches long." Oh, he didn't really get it. He said, "Are you having any other dreams?" She said, "Well, yeah, last week I had a dream about a beautiful set of dangly earrings, also 24-karat gold, and they were in the shape of feathers. And I just want, can you tell me what these dreams mean? I'm really having a hard time understanding what these dreams mean about all this jewelry." And the husband says, "I have no idea." Well, finally, it got down, it was 2 days before Christmas, and he finally figured it out. And he went to the store to make his purchase. And on Christmas Day, they were both very excited. Because he told her, he said, "Honey, I've got everything figured out." So Christmas Day, they were both excited. And she opened her gift. And it was a book, How to Interpret Your Dreams. Now we're going to look at another book tonight. We're going to consider what the Bible says about us and about Jesus, who we are, and who is Jesus. You know, it's been said that all other books are about information, but the Bible is about transformation. And I believe that. According to the Bible, until we see ourselves as sinners, we cannot change. Now, who was Jesus before he was that baby in the manger? Who was he? Well, he was a spiritual being. He was perfect. He was the sinless Creator God, Creator of the universe. And in John chapter 1, verse 3, he's speaking about Jesus, and he says, "All things were made through him." Excuse me, I am so dry tonight. I've got to get this. And so John identifies him as being there during creation. And John even goes on to say that in him and through him were all things created. Not one thing was created without him. This is in the first chapter of John that we read. And we can rely on the Holy Scriptures, I think. All other books are about information, but the Bible is about transformation. So what is the transformation, Pastor John? We're getting there. Now, before he was a baby, we know that he was Creator God. Who was Jesus after he came as a baby? The same person, but in a different form. Human form. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this, "Jesus, even though he existed in the form of God while he was in heaven, did not regard equality with God as something that he needed to exploit and hold over other people, but instead he emptied himself. He took on the form of a slave, assuming human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." All other books are about information, but the Bible is about transformation. And until we see ourselves as sinners, we don't need to change unless we see that we have a problem, right? Next, so who are we before we accept that baby in the manger? The scripture tells us that we are all sinners. That's wonderful news, right? But that's Adam and Eve kind of took care of things in the Garden of Eden for us, and so we inherited sin, the sin nature. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 3:23, everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark. And Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, says this in Isaiah 64, all of our righteousnesses, all the good things that we do in God's sight are like filthy rags. There is none righteous, none that is perfect. So that's who we are before we accept the baby, accept the Lord. But who are we after we meet him? Well, we're challenged, right? When we find out that, you know, this is true, that we are all sinners, and it's all throughout Scripture. And so we are challenged, and we are informed because we are learning more. Then we start talking with others. And then we consider his claim to be the Messiah. And Paul says in Romans 6:23, where he said in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, in Romans 6:23 he says, but the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. What are wages? Wages are things that we work for, and we earn a paycheck, and when we are sinning, we are earning death. We all fall short of the glory. But he goes on to say in Romans 6:23, the free gift of God, however, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came as a baby, but before that he was the God that created the world. And so, he took on himself, he humbled himself, and took on the form of a human being. Who are we then, after we are born again? You might be surprised that it's not just in the Gospel of John that the Scripture talks about being born again. It's in John chapter 3, of course, John 3:3. When Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, you must be born again. This, he's talking about transformation. And in Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he also says that you must be born again. So Peter and John, two of the closest disciples. Paul says in Colossians, he says that in Christ, we are hidden in Christ when we accept him as our Savior, when we accept him and make the decision, when we confess our sins and become believers in Jesus Christ, then we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are hidden in Christ. In John 15, we see that Jesus is in us and we are in him. This is the way he puts it in John chapter 15. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. I am in you, you are in me, and we are all in the Father. Now, this is language from a guy who was a spirit being, and then he became human. And so it's a little difficult for us to understand how you can be all of these things. But we take it and we believe it because it is Holy Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 5, we read these words, any who are in Christ... Okay, so this is the born-again experience. Any who are in Christ, Jesus makes into a new creation. Ah, we've made it to the transformation, right? We've made it to the transformation. They are changed. And when we experience his change, he also changes our thinking. There is a little 10-word prayer that I share with people. And they say, well, I don't quite get it. And if you've not asked Jesus to come into your heart, say, well, I'm a good person. You know, I go to church. I give money to the church. I do good things. I try to do my best. Nobody's perfect, Pastor. That's true. But it is not by works that we get into heaven. It is through being transformed by this baby that came in the manger. You see, he was willing to be transformed and became human, and he invites us to be transformed and to accept eternal life. All other books are about information, but the Bible is about transformation. And until we see ourselves as sinners, we cannot change. Jesus was willingly transformed from God to human so that we might be saved. He came on a rescue mission. And in Jeremiah 31, this is 700 years before Christ, God spoke to Jeremiah many things, but this one thing he said about the Messiah. He was foretold, and that he said he was fully God and fully human, and that he would come and he would be the one who would deliver the world from sin and give us eternal life. So let's summarize this. Number one, spiritual renewal happens through faith in Jesus Christ. The transformation of a Christian begins with a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, all people are born into sin, separated from God, Romans 3:23. But through Jesus' life, his death and resurrection, believers are given the opportunity to be reconciled with God. When a person accepts Christ into their life, they experience a spiritual renewal, what the Bible calls being born again, John 3:3, and also Peter 1:3. This renewal isn't just about a change in belief. It's a deep spiritual change where God's Holy Spirit begins to work inside of us, making us into a new creation. There's a prayer that I started to speak about just a moment ago. It's a little 10-word prayer. Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. How did God create the heavens and the earth? How did he do it? We read in Genesis chapter 1, he spoke everything into creation. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so it is. We are made in the image of God. And what we speak is very powerful. Let me just give you an example. If I'm mad at my wife and she comes, I come home and she says, hi, honey, how you doing? Yeah. No, what's going on? No. Anybody else ever get in a mood like that besides me? No. You know, sometimes things pile up. No. What am I creating with those words? I'm creating some friction, right? But start out with, you know, I love you. I'm so glad I married you, which is true. So we can create beautiful things in this life for other people. What we say matters. Number two, so we have spiritual renewal through faith in Christ. Number two, we have an inner change through the Holy Spirit. Once Christians place their faith in Jesus, they are empowered by the Holy Spirit, which leads to a profound inner change. The Holy Spirit acts as our guide, helping us align our thoughts and attitudes and behaviors with God's will. The Bible speaks of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Goodness is actually more correctly, in the Greek, is more correctly translated as generous. Oh, I was planning on being good, not generous, you know, and I'm going to define good anyway, right? These characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit, begin to grow in a Christian's life as they submit more and more to God's transformative work. The inner transformation isn't immediate. Now, I will say most people experience an immediate boost when they're born again, when they accept Jesus. There is an immediate boost, and there's a rush of emotions many times. So this inner transformation isn't immediate, but a process begins and it unfolds over time. Christians are continually being molded and shaped into Christ's image as they allow Christ to shape them, as they grow in their relationship with the Lord, and this allows His values and His virtues to take place and take root in our hearts. And number three, we've had the spiritual renewal through faith. Secondly, we had inner change through the Holy Spirit. And now, an outward transformation in our actions. I mean, there's a song that I grew up with. It says, "Love ain't for keeping." You can tell somebody you love them, but until you show them. I mean, if you're selfish, you know, that doesn't work, right? You've got to give somebody something. You've got to share. You've got to be generous. If you love somebody, you will show it through your actions. There are many Christians today that say that they love the Lord, but they keep it all to themselves. And they don't give Jesus a whole lot in the offering plate either. But God isn't done working with them. They have not experienced, they have not figured out, they have not gotten to the place where it is a beautiful thing to be generous with other people. It is a beautiful thing to love the unlovable. It is a beautiful thing. Now, I know this is hard. It's hard for me too. It's a beautiful thing to forgive the unforgivable. I know there are people in here right now, because in my 30 years of pastoring and counseling with people, the number one thing that I have had people sit in my office and tell me is this: "Pastor John, I cannot forgive that person. You don't know what they did." And then they tell me. And of course, it's nothing I haven't heard before. You'd be surprised what pastors hear. You hear about murder. You know, you hear about other juicy things that sometimes you feel like you need to take a shower after you talk with them. But forgiveness is difficult. It's because we have been slighted and we have been wounded and we want to get even, because human beings are reciprocal beings, and that is why, now get this, Jesus transforms us. He knows that we are reciprocal beings, and that, and what that means in layman's terms is whatever people give us, we tend to reflect it right back to them. So if somebody's nice to us, we'll be nice to them. But if they're not good to us, boy, I can't wait till the next time I see that guy. Yeah, right? But Jesus, what did He do? He took all of that retribution. He took all of that response that would have been appropriate for sinners. He might have said, "Dad," you know, talking to Father God, "Dad, you know, I think they're a lost cause. I think we just pull the plug and let's start over." Jesus said, "No." Thank God He didn't do that, right? But He said, "I will go. I will lower myself to their level. I will become a baby. And I will die on the cross. Because the only way to turn this thing around is by somebody forgiving them. And once they experience that joy of forgiveness that I'm going to give to them when they are born again, once they experience that happiness, that joy, you know, then they're going to have it. And then that is going to take over more and more. And then what's inside of them is going to spill out. And then They feel so good, they want to share that goodness with other people. And so when somebody says, you son of a blah, 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 and you say, Harry, come here. Have I ever told you what a great guy you are? God gives us the power to do that. You can't do it on your own. Jesus knows that. That's why he came. He had to come. And Jesus, and the scripture tells us that even beginning in Genesis chapter 12 of a Messiah that would come, and then in 2 Samuel 7, 1,000 years before Christ, we learn that the Messiah would come in David's line, and so it was. And he fits the bill for the Jeremiah 31:31 promise of the new way of living that was coming. In the Old Testament, there were three people that would experience the Holy Spirit. Prophets, people of God, priests, and kings, those three. That was it. That's all you see in the Old Testament. But today, everybody can have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of Jesus. He said, whatever you want. He said, and Jesus said this, he said, look, he says, if you ask for a good gift, if you ask for a gift according to my will, then it will be given to you. And he said, whoever asks for the Holy Spirit will receive it. Okay. Number three, outward transformation in action. Transformation also becomes evident in a Christian's actions and relationships. As their inner nature changes, this begins to show in how they live. Christians are called to love one another and others. They are called to serve the community and live in a way that reflects the love and the grace that they have received. This outward transformation is often described in the Bible as living out one's faith in their deeds. That is James chapter 2, James, the brother of Jesus. It's not enough to just believe. Genuine faith leads to actions that demonstrate God's love and truth in this world. This transformation also affects how Christians view suffering and challenges. Suffering and challenges. Huh, no problem. Been here, been there, done that. But when you're a baby Christian, it's like, oh, God, why did you do that? Why did you allow that to happen? I want to give you one more thing. Where is the pain in your life? We all have it. Where is the pain in your life? Is it a divorce? Is it a death? My cousin is going to bury her 11-year-old daughter this next week. Cancer. When she was 4 years old, we thought she beat it. She had cancer. Beautiful little girl. A few months ago, they warned everybody. They said, the cancer is back, and it's not looking good. Her name is Caroline. She passed away 2 days before Christmas. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. I don't know. But God knows. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen at all? And this is the thing that I have found through many Christian counselors and many Christian authors. The very thing that God makes you go through that is difficult is the way that He wants you to help the world. So if you lose a child, and that's a terrible, terrible thing, He wants you to help others who have lost a child. If you have found victory over drugs or alcohol, He wants you to share that. Whatever it is, if you've been to the brink of divorce, like me and Joyce, years ago. Yeah, pastors are not perfect and neither are their wives. I'm just going to say that. I mean, I know everybody else in here gets along perfectly with their husbands and wives, never have any problems, no disagreements. Everything is just wonderful. La, 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 la. But we love the Lord. And after you've been through a few of those things, you say, wow, now I can share with somebody else how to get through it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So in summary, brothers and sisters, Christians are transformed through a deep spiritual renewal brought about by faith in Christ. This leads to an ongoing interchange through the Holy Spirit, which gradually shapes our character to reflect Christ. And ultimately, this transformation leads to outward changes in our behavior, our relationships, and the ease that we have because of the Holy Spirit, that we can now face all of life's challenges. We don't blow our tops all the time. Instead of seeing a problem, we see a solution. It's a lifelong process of becoming more like Christ, demonstrating the power of God's love in the world. All other books are about information. The Bible is about transformation. And Jesus was about transformation. He became human so that we could live forever. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for your love to us. We ask that you be with us in these moments. We thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Tonight, as we think on all that he did, knowing what was to come, we stand in awe of him, and we thank you for not giving up on us. We love you. Speak to us now as only you can, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, now we're going to sing Silent Night, and we're going to light candles. So do we need to give anybody any instructions on that? I think they've got it covered. All right.